Prospect Flyover. Here it is, Monday, February 26, 2024. We are back. And last episode we did was on Friday night with Mike and Manny. That obviously goes up every Sunday. But we opened that show with the importance of the weekend series coming up, which, you know, would have been the Rangers and Penguins, and the Flyers walk away with two losses. And playoff implications were not necessarily imminent. You know, this was not a make-or-break kind of thing, but it does make things a little more interesting down the stretch. We got that and a whole lot more to talk about tonight. But Dylan is back. Dylan, how you doing?
Not bad, not bad. How are you?
Doing good. Doing better than the Flyers, that's for sure.
That is good.
Well, they lost to the Rangers 2-1. And then the following day, play the Penguins, score six goals, but Cal Peterson allows seven, and they take a loss to the Penguins in what should have been a, you know, layup of a win there. 67 points, third in the Metro, 30 wins, 22 losses, 7 overtime, 59 games played. Devils are still at bay with 62 points, so again, not necessarily a make-or-break kind of weekend, but boy, and what was ultimately the biggest test of the season thus far, walking away empty-handed, was not ideal.
I know. I mean, you would think scoring six goals would get you a win, but I guess not. Especially when
Peterson's
Jari was, no, Jari was not on his best stuff either. That was a pretty weak game to allow 13 goals. It was kind of just a firing spree. But, I mean, luckily the Devils are kind of still at bay and not really doing too much, but it is what it is. I guess you move on to the next game and just see what happens. But I mean, what else are you going to do if you don't play Peterson? Because you can't play Urson every game. So, I mean, yeah. Because realistically, I don't think the Flyers win with him in net. They won twice with him in net. That was pretty lucky. That was some of his better games, and then that was about it.
Yeah, Peterson, just terrible goaltender. One of those guys that it is borderline incredible to think that not too long ago he was about to overthrow Jonathan Quick. And here he is, like, he's not even a decent AHL goaltender now. Like, what happened? What a fall from grace this guy has had. But just miserable. His numbers in the NHL right now, 5 games this season, .864 save percentage, .390 goals against, which is only slightly worse than his AHL numbers on .890 save percentage and .326 goals against. So yeah, been bad at both levels this year. And, you know, as much as obviously Carter Hart faced his reckoning day and he's gone and the guy's a predator and all the bad stuff, but I don't think people realized how well they had it with Hart Nurse and tandem. And now that he's gone, they got some questions here. And everyone goes, well, Kolesov's coming, which theoretically he is. We don't really want to guarantee that until he shows up. But at the end of the day, he's not playing in the NHL anytime soon. I think people need to get off that. For whatever reason, they think about this with all the goaltenders. This was the thing with Ersson back in the day. They thought about this with Fedotov as well. And it's like, there's a good chance this guy's spending at least a year in the AHL first. So this backup thing is something they need to address with some kind of legitimacy, probably this summer, because Kolesov is not an immediate answer in net for them.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I talk to people about 24/7 on Twitter, is that, like, I get asked it so much. Like, when do I see these people coming over and Bonk and Barkey? And I'm like, it's so hard to put a timestamp on it because, like, you never know, and they have to just be consistent. But with Kolesov, yeah, he's not going to be your number two or even your number one immediately, especially coming over from this season. People think he's going to come over in 2 weeks and be a factor in the NHL. And if he wants to come over and maybe play a couple of AHL games, that's whatever. But he's probably going to be dead tired as well, because he's been playing all season and he's going to play in the playoffs a little bit. So, I mean, he's not going to be a huge factor, and I wouldn't see him doing too much in the AHL right now. But either way, yes, he's not going to play next season. He's going to be an AHL goalie unless he impresses the hell out of everyone and has like a .980 save percentage and zero goals against in 20 starts. And the way the Phantoms are going, I don't really see that happening either. But It is what it is. And I've been preaching it all like for a month almost now. They need to get a legitimate, holy cow, legitimate backup goalie, or they're just gonna spiral. And if you don't want to have a bad culture of, what does Danny say? He doesn't want to lose because it creates a bad culture, whatever. Well, you're going to if you run that tandem for a whole season. And I just don't see it working. I mean, I don't want you to go sign Marc-Andre Fleury or go get Vasilevskiy at whatever price tag he has. Just get a guy that can play for next season and then move on from him and then put Kolosov in net the next year. Like, give him time to develop in the AHL and then run Ersin and Kolosov the following year. It's not that complicated, nor should it be. But the people that want to bring in Fleury for 3 years, that just doesn't make sense, because then you're backed up on goalies now. Well, you're also backed up on defense. So you're just creating more crap to get rid of, and then you don't want to get rid of this other goalie you brought in for 3 years because he's all of a sudden playing well, so you don't want to drop him. Well, then you got Bjarnason, and then you got Kolosov, and then you got everyone else. So, like, just get a guy temporary. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, and you know, they could go with Sandstrom, but his numbers are not really much
The
better.
same thing. Oh my God, I'm so tired of that too. It's the same thing. Like, I don't put him in net. Well, we gave him a chance last year. Have you seen his numbers from last year? Like, and his AHL numbers aren't that much better. Like,
888 save percentage, 323 goals against. Wildly inconsistent. There are some nights where this guy looks like he could be an NHLer, and then other nights when he looks just as bad as Peterson. And, you know, the Phantoms as a whole have not made life easy on anybody in net down there. But, yeah, I mean, is he better than Peterson? Probably. Is he substantially better and worthwhile? No, not at all. I don't know. I don't know what their vendetta is against Felix Sandstrom. I've wondered that for years at this point. I can't think of a guy more mistreated in this organization than Sandstrom on the whole. But yeah, he's not the answer that you would really need here. And ironically enough, looking at some of the free agent names, I still think Anthony Stolarz is probably the best option out there on the 2024 free agent market, which is pretty piss poor, which doesn't help situations at all. You got some of the guys like Fleury, who may even just retire at this point, but if he comes back, it's a big money kind of thing. And then just a bunch of random dudes, like 40 Cal Peterson. It's like, God damn it, the 1 year. You know, there's been a lot of decent goaltending markets over the last few years, and they haven't needed them. And now you need them, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, God, what kind of scrap can we, you know, go through and figure this one out? But yeah, something that they're going to need to address this summer. I can't imagine they do it at the deadline. If they're not going to add legitimate talent to this team, I can't imagine they're wasting assets on a backup goaltender for a playoff run who won't see the ice. But yeah, something that now all of a sudden looked like you were embarrassment to riches and net. All of a sudden, to-do list pretty high up there. Find a backup goaltender.
Yeah. And to the people that were like, Hart doesn't need to be on this team. We should trade Hart, do this or that. He just proved why we needed him, because Ersin's the only answer here right now. And if you don't want to burn him out, well, then you can't play him every night. So that argument was so dumb for the longest time. And now that he's gone, people are like, oh, we need a guy like that back. Well, we had two great goalies, and now we only have one. And now you're complaining. So I
Yep.
don't.
The people that spent all of December and half of January going, "We don't need Hart, we got Ersin."
You
A
need
month
two
later, it's
goalies.
like, "Well, we could have Hart back." Well, yeah, no shit. Be careful what you wish for, idiots.
Yeah. Like, you need two goalies, so you can't just rely on one. So, and in my opinion, we relied on Hart as it was, so.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Peterson probably is going to play a whole lot, except for back-to-backs. I think they got three of them remaining the rest of the season, but then that begs the question of, are you just going to play Ersin every single night and hope that he doesn't get hurt? If Ersin goes down and your tandem is Peterson and
It
Sandstrom,
or
oh boy, kiss those playoffs goodbye.
yeah, we if Ersin gets hurt, we are done for, especially with Drysdale on week to week or whatever he is now, which is good. He doesn't need surgery, but I wouldn't even bring him back right now. He needs to rest. I can't imagine him going through another shoulder. Oh my God, soldier, what,
Shoulder?
shoulder, holy hell. Every time I get on this show, I just can't speak English. It's
Eh,
so,
it happens.
oh my. But like, either way, and we got, who else is down right now? Konechny. Like,
TK, Risto.
Risto's still, I forgot Risto even existed.
Risto and Drysdale are both hurt, and they still have six healthy defensemen back there. God! They don't
Oh
have to call
God.
anybody up.
But yeah, so I mean, if Versa gets hurt, we're in shambles, even worse than we are. But I don't know. I just think it would be dumb not to do something this offseason in order to help him out. Oh, and even I think you probably could have even had Ersin play back to back this weekend with how non-busy our schedule is coming up. Like he's done it before, probably not at the NHL level, I don't think, but like he's a goaltender. Like it's not rocket science. It's not insane to think he could probably run back to backs. I think we win that game if he's in net, that Penguins game at least. That is, because I don't think he lets in seven,
Probably not,
especially
no.
on what we just saw from that game. So I think he could have ran him back to back.
Well, as noted, Elliot Friedman just tweeted out a few minutes ago here, right before we started. Word on Jamie Drysdale, he's out week to week with the hope he will be able to return this season. Good luck to him. He's had enough injury trouble and got hurt in that Penguins game, and just immediately when he got hit, grabbed his shoulder and ran up the tunnel. And it seems like he avoided serious injury. The Flyers did not play or practice today, so we did not actually hear an update from Torts. They will go tomorrow before Tampa. So it'll be a body injury with an undisclosed timeline, is my guess, if we know John Tortorella and his injury updates. So, you know, we don't really know what's going on, but it does sound like the way Elliot Friedman made it that he avoided, you know, at least serious injuries. So it may be done for the season, at least most of it. Maybe if they make the playoffs, he can come back. But, on the whole, well, I guess it's lucky that he avoided a bullet, but still not great on the whole, considering the guy needs to play and develop at this point.
Yeah, it does not help his development at all. Especially if it's the same shoulder he already injured and went through surgery for. I can't imagine that is a great feeling. I mean, yeah, if he's out week to week, it is what it is, but I would rather him just go stay in his apartment where he barely has a bed and just rest up, because realistically, I don't want him to re-injure himself trying to make a playoff push just to get knocked out in the first round or whatever it may be. Second round, that's generous. But yeah, I just don't see the point in him coming back. We have enough defensemen as it is. Give him the time off, let him heal. But at the same time, also help him develop a little bit, get him on the ice. But I just don't want him to get re-injured again and possibly need surgery. So, I mean, especially with the Flyers' injury history, it's kind of a touchy subject.
Yeah, don't have the greatest luck when it comes to repeated injuries to the same player. Yeah. And that obviously then throws into question their trade deadline, which the continued talk about Seeler and Walker. Sweet Christ, if I never hear these two again, I want them gone just so I never have to hear the name Nick Seeler and Sean Walker ever again at this point. But, you know, what becomes of these two is now in the microscope with Risto being out probably another few weeks now. Drysdale's done for potentially this season. They do have Andre and Adard chomping at the bit to make the NHL. Clearly, I don't think they want them to play in the NHL, but they should be choices. And I mean, at this point, even Adam Schitting could probably get a recall and play depth minutes at this point. So, does this change how they go about their trade deadline strategy?
Realistically, it shouldn't. I've been kind of saying for the past couple of weeks that probably nothing happens at the deadline. I probably think it happens more in the off season, especially with guys like Lawton. Why? I don't really know. I just see that more as a realistic thing, and the deadline kind of being pretty quiet for the Flyers again. Because those kind of moves, I guess they just don't really happen. Like moving two first for Walker. I mean, but that's kind of the whole point of picking him up to make the playoff push. But like, maybe Walker goes, and should still go. Like, and I see people are like, this tears apart the defensive core, and like, if we're trying to be a playoff team, this screws up everything because then we have poor defense or whatever. We weren't meant to be a playoff team to begin with. And if you realistically think this team's going to go on a dream run like they did in 2010, I promise you it's going to be very, very hard for them to do that. It's just, obviously people doubted them in 2010, but I think the team's a lot different than they were in 2010.
to say the least, still,
there was a lot of still key pieces and
you
guys.
Know, Chris Pronger.
Like Giroux was there. Like, they had a lot more pieces than this team does. And that was the whole point, was to sell these guys at their highest and make them into something and then sell. Like, if you want to preach rebuild, you better do it and you better sell. I'm fine with you not actually selling them, but you put in the effort and you go and make calls and you do this and that. But just don't sit there and just say, we're not selling them anymore. Because if you're not selling Lawton at this deadline, that is ridiculous. Why keep him? He's this locker room piece. He's got an A, whatever. He's not going to have any higher value than he already is. And he's not playing very well. He's playing better recently.
Last couple of games have been decent.
For some reason, but there's just no point. Like, locker room presence, whatever. You have a culture already. Removing one guy or two guys isn't going to break everything into a million pieces. And you need to do that, unfortunately, to bring in more and newer guys and rookies. And it's just, there's so many layers that should be so obvious. And I hope Danny Briere just throwing up this biggest smokescreen in God planet Earth like he did last year.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be very upset if we just decide to re-sign Sealer Walker and keep Lawton. Like, it just...
Yeah, it's... Lawton, I mean, I don't know whether they move this guy or not. It sure doesn't seem like it, but they should. You know... It's kind of, Walker and Sealer are like obvious trade deadline chips that they just have hard-ons for and don't want to move. Lawton is the one, you should have moved him in 2023 at the offseason. Quite frankly, you could probably make the argument they should have moved him every trade deadline for the last like 3 or 4 years now. But he had these offers on the table in 2023 during the offseason. Said, no, we want his leadership. Now they appreciated his leadership so much that they didn't give him the C. Great. And all of a sudden, his play falls off a cliff. You go into the deadline, and people still want him because the center market is bad, so his value is kind of artificially reinflated. And they still go, nope! The value's too high. Want to keep him. I mean, like, I'm fine to assent with keeping Lawton, but then that begs the question of why in the hell did you extend Ryan Poehling? But, yeah, I don't know. This forward group, man, is highly underwhelming, and Lawton just is not exactly a net positive to the team right now. And with the amount of depth they have, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but you need room for star power. And the only way to add that is to subtract from the players that are already here. So I don't know what they do. If they don't move Lawton, they got to come up with some kind of answer at forward over the next few months and go into the offseason and actually bring in two or three guys that can score a goal every now and again.
Yeah. And yeah, re-signing Poehling, or Poehling. Oh, what was that for if you're not going to move Lawton? Like, that just clogs up your centers somehow when you don't even have that many centers to begin with. You're clogging them up already. Like, I don't understand how that works, but yeah, I'm going to be very upset if we go into next season with, like, the exact same roster and just, like, nothing at all has changed. Not even a backup goalie, not even...
18 of the 23 of them are already under contract.
That's ridiculous.
It like, is.
What is Lawton at? How much...
2 years left at $3 million AAV.
Yeah, and so how do you expect to go get high, firepower and all these other star guys and bring in new guys when Lawton takes up 2 more years? And what's he going to be here for? We're not supposed to be cup contenders till like 2026 when Michkov comes over. So what's the point of keeping him till then? And then he just retires and he don't get anything for him.
They're winning the cup this year, Dylan. Haven't you heard?
I just don't like. What's the point of keeping him?
Because he's a just, leader.
For what? We're not even. We're not. a play. We're not a contender. He's not leading anything. He's leading a rebuilding over high achieving mess of a team. I don't know how to combine it all. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, I just don't see the point of keeping him for 2 more years if he's realistically probably just going to retire, where you get like a 6th round pick for him. Well, then what? Then Michkov takes a spot. Okay. And then you got nothing to build around Michkov.
Yeah.
Like, there's no Pettersson. There's no Kaprizov. There's no nothing because you decided to keep Lawton for 2 more years and eat salary. Like, cap's going up, but
I
who cares?
love I go on Twitter and just see these people that are so hell-bent on making the playoffs. Nothing more, nothing less. The playoffs this season. And then I talk to people rational like yourself that are like, "Hey, this long-term picture still looks like shit. There are questions here." There should be. And one of them is Lawton. What are we doing here? Why did you re-sign Poehling? That's $5 million in Lawton Poehling alone. That's insane.
How much do we have in forwards? Like
Next
14 mil?
season, all
Is that too
12
low?
are already under contract that are on this team, and it's $45.7 million.
Oh, it's worse than I thought. Oh,
Oh, yeah.
God. 14 mil is pretty low, but holy Jesus. We don't have, we have Tippett and Konechny. Who else is being paid a crap load of money?
Sean Couturier, Cam
Oh.
Atkinson,
Oh, yeah, Coots. Yeah. Okay.
Joel
Yeah, they're
Farabee's
better.
making five.
Really? Holy cow.
Cates is
Ugh.
2.6. Hathaway's 2.3.
For what? I mean, Hathaway's not too bad. He
He's
plays the
fine.
part, but Deloria makes way too much money. Who else he
1.75 for
does?
2 more years.
He should be league minimum. Like,
Yeah.
he's not even an
And he's
NHL
got
player.
trade
He's,
protection this summer.
yeah. He
God.
plays like 10 minutes a game and then doesn't even play the
He
third
doesn't even
period
play
because
10 minutes. It's like five most nights.
they're just playing 11 and 6 for fun. Like,
Yeah. That is an interesting one. They've only got six healthy defensemen now. What the hell? They can't do 11-7. Ho, 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 ho. Tortorella's going to be an unhappy camper with that one.
God. And even, yeah. Oh. Yeah, unless you call someone up for no reason.
Call up Adder to scratch him. To let him sit on the bench as the seventh defenseman so they can only roll 11 forwards but not actually play Adder in the NHL.
Yeah, and then
That's
have,
thinking like Tortorella right there.
yep, and then have Lawton and Delorier be your 2 extra guys.
Yeah. For 5 to 7 minutes a night.
Great.
Damn it. Ah, oh, this team. All 12 forwards are under contract. Four of their six defensemen are already here, and both goaltenders. And if they re-sign Seeler and Walker, that's six defensemen.
Not sure where that money comes from, but like, and what do you even pay them? Like, I would throw up if we paid Sealer $4 million
I would
a
assume
year.
Sealer's probably around four, or Walker's probably around four. Sealer's
I
probably in the
hope
two to
Sealer's not
three.
around 4. Oh my
Yeah,
God.
my guess is
Even,
three for Sealer.
oh,
Maybe two and a
why?
half if you're lucky.
Oh.
They're both essentially getting double their pay,
Yeah,
at
of
least.
what they should. Yeah.
Yeah, that too. There are
Just
a lot of
like
people that think, the Seeler's going to resign and sign another league minimum contract. He's not resigning league minimum. This guy's it's probably 2 to 3 million. And Walker, the rumors have been 4 to 5.
Sealer has one goal in like 60 games, but he's got 180 blocks. Pay him 8 mil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Max term, max money. Lock him up, give him the C. Strip
I can't.
Couturier and give it to Sealer.
I was amazed that he actually scored his first goal. I didn't even know it was only his first goal of the year. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And then Mark Stahl, he still exists.
What are we paying him?
1.1 right now. But he is a UFA at the end of the year.
I swear, if we re-sign him, I'm just quitting. I'm not even covering the Flyers
You and
anymore.
me both. We're gonna walk off into the sunset together.
That would be ridiculous.
And if it's
Like,
not Mark Stahl, it'll be another veteran 37-year-old washed-up
bring
guy
in
to bring
Eric
in.
Staal. Switch Brothers.
God, I would love if Eric Stahl was here.
That would be fine. But then move Lon for him. Switch.
Yeah. I'd do that.
But then you got to re-sign the other Stahl to have the brothers. Woo.
Can't get them all together. They're all in their early 40s now. May as well. Yeah, it's... God, that means Mark Stahl's going to have to play every night with the sixth defenseman.
Well, and up his value if he suddenly plays like Eric Stahl.
I suppose. I can't wait. There were so many people last summer that were like, Mark Stahl is such a great addition. They're going to flip him at the deadline for assets. So if you are one of these people, by the way, and you're listening to this show, highly recommend you go and delete those tweets because I'm going to have a field day on trade deadline day.
God.
Pulling them up and going, huh? It was almost like it was obvious that signing a 37-year-old washed-up nobody was a bad idea.
It's unbelievable how bad he's been, like, inconsistently. I can't believe I witnessed his only goal of the year. That was insane. I, like, laughed in front of Oilers fans. It was hilarious, even though we lost that game. But, like, I was like, how do you let Mark Stahl, of all people, score?
Consider yourself lucky.
My God.
Got to witness a Mark Stahl goal.
Oh, it's just ridiculous. This team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, if you re-sign all these guys, where are you going to find the money to hand out ELCs to, like, Rizzo and Barkey and all these other guys? Like, this team's not made of money. Like, the NHL isn't the NBA or the MLB. I don't know where you're pumping out money from, but I know ELCs aren't that much money, but, like, that adds up.
Yeah, I mean, you got 45-7 in forwards right now. They got 10-1 in defense, and they got 6-4 in goalies. So I don't know what's the number? 80, what's the cap at? 87 or something like that?
I have no clue. 6.5. And people expect the cap to go up so much.
Whoops.
Too many zeros?
6.4. Not enough zeros. Plus 10.1 plus 45.7. 62.2 out of the, what, 87 caps. They actually have a surprising amount of money. Granted, that is not including Walker and Sealer. But, it's a little more than I would expect. Of course, then we have to add up Ryan Ellis, who exists. Risto gets another 5. He's technically on IR. Yeah, that money's going away. Hayes is 3.5 in dead cap. D'Angelo still has 1.6 in dead cap. +6.2, +5.1, +3.5, +1.7. 78.7. So, yeah, that's less than 10 mil at that point.
That's another issue I have. Like, people want to buy out Pettersson and Atkinson. I don't want more dead cap. This is ridiculous. We already are paying so many people that don't even play on this team anymore. We paid, who did we pay? Like, Pronger for like 8 years or something stupid?
We paid
someone.
Yeah, Pronger's on the books forever. They got Ryan Ellis, who's still on just regular IR. He's still got 3 years left at 6.2. Hayes is on the books for 2 more years at 3.5. They got one more year at D'Angelo, and Lindblom's buyout does come off the books this year. So they got 3 dead cap right now before Atkinson or Pettersson. Yeah.
And then if you add both of those, that's ridiculous. Like,
yep.
Like, yeah, you're rebuilding or whatever, but, like, again, that adds up and that screws you over in the future. Like, it's ridiculous. 5 mil is a lot of money to just dump. And it should be more than that. Isn't he only getting paid 5 mil a year? Isn't he got...
So the buyout for Pettersson, I put this in an article a while ago, but I guess I'll do it right now. The buyout for both Pettersson and Atkinson is not terrible. Atkinson's cap, Pettersson rather, 24-25, only 1 million cap hit, and then 25-26 is 2 million. So
okay.
The thing with Pettersson, with the 1 mil in buyout, it costs 3.8 mil to bury him in the AHL. So you could buy him out, sign a decent backup, and probably a third stringer for what it would cost to bury him in the AHL. So it does kind of make sense with Pettersson.
Yeah.
Atkinson, sweet Christ, Cam Atkinson. He looks every bit of 170 years old right now. 2.3 against the cap next season, and then 1.7 against the cap in 25-26. So again, still not terrible, but it is a lot of cap for multiple years. Stuff adds up.
Yeah, I mean, that's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, but realistically, it's not worth it. Why can't we just have nice things? Like...
This is Philadelphia. You don't get nice things.
Every time I come on this show, I just dwindle and just scare myself.
Yeah, that's what happens when you pull back the curtain on this team a little bit. Yeah, the night to night competing for a playoff spot, overachieving is fun, but long term questions, they still exist, and the Flyers have a lot of them when it comes to how they moving forward. And one of my biggest stances lately is the fact that this team is still here. Could they make changes? Sure, they could. Things could trade, they could make trades and do all this stuff. It's not impossible. But that's more added work for Briere. And especially if you're bringing back both Walker and Seeler. Even just one of them is a pain in the ass at this point. But it's too many bodies. And this was a Chuck Fletcherism of like, we can't add DeBrincat because we would need to move JVR. Nobody wants JVR. Well, same thing now. If they want to sign Sam Reinhart or something, you got to get rid of Scott Laughton, and nobody's going to want Scott Laughton because he's not worth a shit. The only reason his value's high is because of the trade deadline and the center market is low. You know, well, we don't want to move him for a fifth-round pick, so we're just going to retain him. All right, then you lose out on a high-end player because you need Scott Laughton on this roster for some reason.
Yeah. And if you keep Laughton the next, like, for even next season, and then you go out and you're like, oh, we can probably get a first or second-round pick this. No, you can't. The market is what it is right now. It's not going to be the same next year. It could be, but you're going to be lucky as hell if it is.
Yeah.
Because realistically, it's not going to be the same. And you got to move guys now when their price is high, even if they shouldn't have a high price tag, but they do for some reason because the cap, the C's center is terrible. So, I mean, there's just so many layers, and it's just ridiculous to think that. I mean, I'm not going to blame Briere yet because nothing's actually happened. But if he doesn't do anything, it's going to be a gong show.
It's not directly Briere's fault, but he is in charge of fixing this now, which is the thing.
You took this on.
Yeah, exactly. You can only blame Fletcher to a certain extent past a certain point. We're entering, you know, a full calendar year of Briere now. This is going to be a second off season. It's time to, you know, get his shit together. You can only blame Fletcher for so long. And, you know, I don't know. There are four centers right now. Are Sean Couturier, Morgan Frost, Scott Laughton, and Ryan Poehling.
Cup team.
The bottom 10 team. That is just over-exceeding at the moment.
And people that are... Morgan Frost, yeah, I'll give it to him. He's been better. He's doing a lot. Yada, yada, yada. But, like, it's just... He did this last year. He had good sections. And then fell off a cliff and then had good sections. And everyone was like, he's this and that. He deserves this. He isn't consistent enough. I saw a person on Twitter get excited about how he was good at faceoffs. That's his job. Someone was like, Morgan Frost is good at faceoffs, question mark. And then it had like a screenshot of like him winning three faceoffs. And I was like, what? That's his job. What? Like... You people are nuts. Why are you gassing him up so much? Like, I'll give him credit when he plays good, but, like, he's not consistent enough. And he's not a cup-contending Steven Stamkos on a Flyers team for the future. Like, he's a first-round pick, but, like, was he really for his consistency and for what he's done? Like...
The thing with Frost, like, hyping him up is the problem, right? And he was one of those guys that, even going back to juniors, like, 2 points per game, there are people that directly compared him to Giroux because their junior numbers were similar. He was Claude Giroux Jr. Like, I was at Morgan Frost's first AHL game. I watched his entire AHL run. I've watched his entire NHL run. And, like, he actually has come a long way as a player. Like, he really has, and I'll give him that. But it's not good enough. I think, what was it, Nick was on the show last time, said that he's never seen a player do so much but produce so little, in the sense, you know, the offense, he's out there and making plays, he's got the silky smooth hands, and then no follow-up. And he's just not a good enough all-around player. And, 9 goals and 27 points in 48 games this year. Already 206 games in his career, 96 points total. He's and fine, but he's just... If this guy tops out...
He's not a
out,
first rounder.
No. And it was a first rounder in 2017, by the way. It's 2024.
Yeah, that is my point, too. When is it time to say he's had enough? Like, when is it he's had enough of a leash? Like, Tortorella's been the only one on his ass about it and not having a long leash. Like, how long do we have to wait for him to be consistent? He's had his time. Like, this is ridiculous. We're in 2024. He was drafted how long ago? It's done. Like, he's not consistent enough. He should, for what people think he is, you would think he has 80 points.
Think he would, yeah, be Wayne Gretzky levels of production. Like,
the only reason he looked so good, one more thing. The only thing he looked so good is because of the players around him and the center depth that we have right now.
Yeah, he's in the top six by default, essentially. And thus he has to play with Konechny, and thus he even gets that far. But like, and it's funny, the stuff that, you know, the leash that Frost gets to pretend that he's still good, and then how many people on a regular basis tell me that Bobby Brink's not an NHLer after 38 games, and Lexell's not an NHLer after 12 games, and Andre's not an NHLer after 4 games, and Adder, who's played, what, 8 in his career, is not an NHLer. It's like, so these guys who have played a dozen games, careers written off entirely. Morgan Frost, who's 5 years and 200 games into his career, still gonna develop someday. You know, that's the shit that really drives me nuts when it comes to that Twitter stuff. But, yeah, he's just, like, he's a middle six, 50-point guy, which is not necessarily a bad thing or a negative thing, but he's on a roster composed entirely of middle six, 50-point guys, and he just doesn't do enough from a two-way game to stand out in Tortorella's mind. So he just lingers in this weird spot, and I would be almost curious to see if he goes this summer, if they just keep Lawton Paling and ditch Frost. That's a possibility, ooh. I suppose.
That would be... That would cause mayhem.
People would be unhappy about it. But
I think Bill Meltzer would quit his job. I'm not kidding. On another note, Lixell has been pretty impressive in his time up with the team. 3 assists in his last 2 games? Or just 2?
I don't know. He hasn't played a second game in fucking a month now. He had 2 assists against the Penguins in 12:44 of ice time. And then his second most recent game, January 27, a full month ago, where he did have an assist against Boston in 14:24. He played 1 game in between on February 12 for 4 minutes and 36 seconds of ice time. And
he
went back down to the AHL for 1 game, scored 2 goals and 2 assists, and then got called right back up and played. And it's like, you know, this guy is really good. And, you know, he's nearly a point-per-game guy at the AHL through 2 seasons now. And, you know, like, producing mainly on the power play, which is an area the Flyers, you know, are struggling! And it's like, I get it. This guy's not going to be a point-per-game guy at the NHL. He's not Alex Ovechkin. But sweet Christ, when your team is this desperate to produce offense, there's no reason why they don't give everybody a try. Lexell, Tuomala, Brink, these guys that should be here getting opportunities have been lodged in the AHL, or in Lexell's case, just locked in the press box for months on end. So we'll see if, you know, this Lexell thing continues. They do play Tampa tomorrow night. We'll see if he's in that game. But, yeah, so believe it or not, the guy that's good at producing offense can actually produce when he's given an opportunity. Huh!
Is he a centerman?
No, left wing.
He's your winger. Okay. I was going to say he could replace Lawton, but hey, he could play center if you wanted to. But, and another point, Adder, I'm not sure how much it matters, but he's on a one-way contract next year.
Yes. So theoretically, he should be in the NHL, but as we learned this summer, that's never stopped him from putting people on waivers before. So,
yeah, I think that would be a terrible mistake if we put Adder on waivers. I don't see a world where someone doesn't pick him up.
25 points in 46 games this season, 57 points in 114 games. Just one of those guys that has developed over time, and I really, really like Addard. I don't understand how he's gotten practically zero ice time at the NHL level. I believe he had, what, 4 games last year or something like that? Maybe it was 2 towards the end of the year. I don't know what it is, especially in this organization. Desperately needs right-shot guys and power play quarterbacks. You potentially have one here. Mil-Andre, power play quarterback. He's a lefty, but another guy. I mean, these two should be on the roster. And ditching Seeler and Walker may potentially hurt your playoff run, but if you get a 20-game sample size of Andre and Addard, you have a much better idea of what to do during the offseason and then how to go into next season if you have even the slightest inkling of what Addard can do, because right now, you've got no idea. Addard's in his, what, second, third professional season, 2.5 years, and you've got no idea whether or not this guy can play in the NHL and he's on a one-way contract next year. Is it just trial by fire? Do you just bring back Walker and Seeler, get rid of Zamul, and have Addard be the seventh guy that never plays? Like, what's the plan with Ronnie Addard and Andre and all these guys in the AHL? This topic, Dylan, you're getting me heated. Play your prospects.
And eventually they're not even going to be prospects. They're going to age out. Addard's 25 next year.
Yep.
I'm
a college kid. So a little later.
It's ridiculous. And I don't know. It's just, there's so much to unravel. And just camp is going to be a mess next year if you have Seeler and Walker. Or Ristolainen, or there's so much on the back end,
so many
that
bodies.
Doesn't need to be there. And if you have Addard, and then he has a good camp, and then you try and send him back to the AHL, God forbid someone picks him up, because I'm pretty sure someone would. That's a dangerous game to play.
Yep, I mean it's the storyline. For last season is going to be the one is there's just so many bodies here. You've got, 2 teams worth of forwards that could reasonably be playing in the NHL. And that's when you had to send guys like Wade Allison down and attempt to clear waivers through that guy. And then you got defense, and it's going to be the same thing. If they bring these guys back, even if it's not Walker, Stahl, Seeler, they go out and find 3 replicas of them and just replace them that way. You still have too many bodies on this team.
Yeah.
This isn't a rebuild at all.
No, it is not. How many defensemen can you have at a training camp? There has to be a limit, right?
A good question. I don't know off the top of my head. I assume there is some rule somewhere that limits the bodies.
Because, there's going to be a lot. Bonk's going to be there. I assume a lot of the AHL guys are going to be there. Merchants, maybe. But that's development camp because he's a college kid. That's a different thing, but Southern's going to be there. That's
Bonk,
a lot of
Andre, Addard, Granz, Samson, Belpedio still under contract next year as well. I saw somebody today, by the way, that said they should call it Belpedio, which I had a hearty laugh at because he's missed the last 2 months with an injury. I believe he did come back on Saturday, so he is back. But
why?
You're going to call it because he worked hard in his game a few months ago when he was up for those few weeks.
Oh, I guess so.
Which, I guess he did, but Jesus Christ, if you're looking for another guy, you need your 2 prospects that are actually a futures, not Louis Belpedio. But a lot of bodies. And, Ginning is still an RFA. Mason Millman's an RFA. I don't know why they never utilized that guy to any real extent, but they didn't. So Ginning, I assume he resigns. He's still an RFA. I guess he could go back to Sweden if he's feeling unjust here, which is possible.
That's another thing, too. Eventually, when do some of these guys aren't kids anymore. When do they eventually just say, okay, I'm taking the cutter route. I'm not playing here anymore because you're not going to utilize me, and I don't want to be an AHLer for my whole career. Addard's going that direction. He's 24 going on 25.
Yep.
Has played 8 max possible games in the NHL. There has to be a limit here, and you can't just stop toying with these prospects. There has to be a limit at some point to say, oh, these guys are burning out. These guys are getting of age. We can replace them with, or they can replace other guys in the NHL. At a certain point, you have to realize these kids aren't kids anymore, and they probably want to be NHLers, and they realistically can be.
And when they're not, and this is, goes to that, when you have guys that are under contract, and you fuck them over, you get a really bad environment for a team that preaches about culture so much. And this was a talking point pretty earlier in the season this year with Wade Allison. You know, expected to be on the main roster, and there were all these rumors early on, and, you know, the Perry air-butted heads with him, that he had a bad attitude. And it's like, yeah, no shit, because the rug pulled out from under him, and he got sent down, and there's a lot of those guys down there. Lexell, Brink, Lazinski, like, you know, Addard. Another one of, like, no shit, there's a bad culture down there, and everyone's pissed off because they should be in the NHL, and they're not because it's so critical that Nick Seeler and Gordon Hathaway are here right now.
And there's a shelf life to John Tortorella as well. Eventually, these kids and these players aren't going to listen to this yelling and this hard-nosed hockey. Like, we've seen it before. There's a shelf life to this. I highly doubt Tortorella is going to be here when they hoist the cup. If everything goes to plan and we're in a perfect world in 2026 and onward, realistically, I don't think Tortorella is the coach to do it. I just see there being a shelf life, and it's probably till the end of his contract. Or if hell freezes over, then earlier than that. Let's hope we don't have to fire another coach, but it's just like AV. There's a shelf life to it, and with these older coaches. So, I mean,
Daryl Sutter in Calgary, perfect example of
that. Yeah, exactly.
One of those old, hard-nosed guys that team was good when he was up, but man, when that falls off, forget about it.
Yeah, like eventually this culture, they turn on you eventually. Like, it's not going to be rainbows all the time. Like, eventually they realize that they don't want to take it anymore. They don't want to take this almost, I'm not going to say verbal abuse, but like, because I don't think it's to that point. But like, Wade Allison is a perfect example.
The shenanigans of Tortorella. Yeah.
And the fact you have to gain respect by physically going to talk to him and requesting to talk to him in his office, that shouldn't be how a player gets ice time. Wade Allison shouldn't have to go into your office and kick the door down and tell you you're being dumb like Morgan Frost did. Like, if that's how you want your players to earn your respect, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, and this is something I pointed out in the past as well. This is a team built exclusively on vibes and culture at the moment with not a lot of talent. If that vibe and culture goes away and you're just left with these random assortment of dudes, they ain't got no playoff spot. This team talent wise is not there. They're gelling and they're riding some extra momentum, but you know, the cracks are going to show sooner or later, and it's a feel good party right now, but without some serious changes here, it's not going to be forever. And yeah, it's all you can do is sit back and warn people at the moment. And when it happens, you just get to say, I told you so, I suppose. But yeah, can things change? Can they get better? Sure. It's possible. But after the last 15 years of Flyers hockey, when very little was ever done to save themselves, and when the to-do list is as long as big as it is, and it's like, you know, when you have a team like the Maple Leafs that have their young, talented core in place, and it's just about finding random depth dudes, that's the easy part. When you have the bunch of random depth dudes and you're missing those high-end pieces and you're excluding your prospects, you're hurting your own draft positioning so you can't get them, where are you getting these guys from? You're either going to go out and have to pay Sam Reinhart $10 million a year to come in, which they're probably not going to do, or you're just going to have to hope and cross every orifice you got that, you know, Michkov's going to be the guy. And even then, you need more than one guy. So, yeah, the short-term feel-good is great. Long-term, not so much.
Yeah. What's his name from The Athletic? Scott, I think is his name. He's doing, like, prospect rankings or whatever. The article basically says Matvei Michkov is carrying the Flyers into this, like, top six spot in the prospect pools or whatever. It was like, yeah, because that's kind of all we have.
Pretty much.
Like, there's some depth guys, of course, but like, then again, are they really considered prospects in 1 to 2 years? Like, by the time Michkov comes over, the prospects that we consider to be decent right now are going to be 27 and like probably still not even in the NHL. So like, fuck's sakes.
It's not an episode of Brotherly Pod until somebody's rubbing their temples by the end of it.
It's just like, I don't know. And Brink is playing probably some of the best hockey he's played.
Point per game guy in the AHL, 11 and 11 now.
Like, and nothing has been said or heard. Like, nope, he's fine there.
Going down there to rebuild his confidence. Just kidding. One-way trip. Never see him again.
Like, Wade Allison was arguable. Fine. Like, he didn't perform in, with the Phantoms, and he struggled, and he had attitude. Whatever. Kind of your fault, too. But Brink's completely different. Brink's using this. He's playing extremely well. He's got a point per game. Like, in 11 games, he's got 11 points. For, like, where's the argument that he can't do the same in the NHL level? And realistically, he was doing it at the NHL level. Obviously not a point per game kind of guy, but he was still playing well. And
especially with Konechny out.
Yeah, that's like, I like that Lixell's up, but it, there's obviously also a shelf limit to that, because eventually TK is going to come back and you're not going to scratch Lawton or Atkinson again. Like, because you got respect for those two, and you coached Cam Atkinson when he was 6 years old and when he played with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Like,
yeah.
There's just, play the veterans for what?
Because they're leaders.
Yeah.
It's a culture.
Well, that's what Stahl was supposed to be. He was supposed to be a locker room guy and not play very well. He's basically a coach.
Yeah.
He's basically an assistant coach. Like, pretty sure every other guy in that room can be the exact same.
When you have so many culture guys that outnumber the young guys, you're not instilling a culture in anything anyway. Defeats its own purpose.
Yeah, because then if you lose those guys, well, then you don't have a culture, because all the young guys don't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah, there's no torch to be passed. Yep.
Like, there's no real, not that C and A's and whatever matter, but realistically, I don't see a definite fit for a captain once Kutz is gone.
Like, well, luckily he's not gone until 2030!
Oh, my God. But, like, because even by then what? TK is going to be, like, 32, so what do? Just pass it on to him, because he's been here forever. There you go.
I think Connector will be 32 or 33.
Oh, even worse than I thought. Okay. But then you keep him for till he's 38 and he can be captain for 4 years.
Yeah, when they ink Konechny to an 8-year extension this summer.
I guess Mitchkov can be your captain, but a Russian guy, I don't know the difference. But realistically, I probably think he's nicer than Ovechkin. He seems like he's more relaxed and not as in your face. Well, he can be in your face on the ice, but to your teammates wise, I guess Mitchkov could be your captain. But then again, that's still imaginary until he's here. So,
yeah, like, I'm stunned they named Couturier captain. Like, it was the obvious choice on this roster, but, and kind of the outcome. But, like, when Tortorella spent so much time saying, we're not having a captain, it's like, okay, like,
whoa, why did Kutz have to prove that? Like, there was no point in waiting, because now he even has less time to be captain.
Yeah.
And there was no point. It's not like it's Drew where he wore it for 12 years. There's no point to Kutz having it. You could have just kept it as it was, because Kutz is just going to wear it for
6 years?
4, 6 years at most. That's half of what Drew wore it for. What's the point? And then are you going to wait another 3 years after Kutz is gone to name another one?
That's, like, the thing. It's like, when Tortorella just spent all this time saying, we're not going to have a captain, it's like, okay, like, they clearly have a vision of somebody that they want. And I'm thinking, great. It's either going to be a big-name free agent, they're going to bring in, Sam Reinhart off from the sea. Great. Or they just hold off because it's Tortorella, and they're going to make one of the young guys earn it, right? Nope. Just going to give it to the guy who's been here since 2011.
That was so funny, because they were like, maybe the guy's not on the team yet, or this guy isn't here yet. You haven't added anyone realistic to be a captain, and Kutz has been here since 2011. Huh? Like,
2011 to 2030. I believe I would need to redo the math, because I know him since a couple years, but I believe at one point he was going to pass Bobby Clark's games played record by like 300 or something crazy.
Probably, but
that's,
he got hurt,
nuts.
Obviously.
Even then, yeah. That's still... Let's do some quick math here, shall we? Everyone buckle up. Dan was going to do math! How many games does Sean Couturier have played, and what is Bobby
Not
Clark's?
As many as he should.
Not NHL games played. Flyers.
Bobby Clark has 1,200, I think, or something.
Something like that. Quick math time with Daniel. Let's see. 1,144 for Clark. So Couturier has how many years left? 6 years left. 82 times 6 is 492. Plus 776 in his career is 1,268. So yes, he's still passing Bobby Clark if he plays every game for the remainder of his career in Philadelphia.
With maintenance days and age and his back.
I cannot imagine he's still playing in 2030. But if he does,
well,
he's going to come close one way or the other.
He would like the money. It's like Ryan Ellis. He just won't retire, but he'll take our money.
Hey, I'm getting paid $7.75 a year to have a Ritz cracker spine and sit on IR.
It's like Pettersson. It's like, oh, I played terrible. I feel bad. Oh, I just checked my bank account. I have $5 million. I'm fine. Like, well, enjoy our money. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, well, not too bad. You get paid, what, 3-year deal? $15 million total dollars to be terrible at your job. A hell of a gimmick, quite frankly. Where do I sign up for that job?
That is robbery. Like,
get some kind of lawsuit against him.
God.
Send the money back for being a piece of shit, not living up to his contract.
That's ridiculous. Who... Like, even off of the year he had, why would you pay him so much money? Goalies are so weird and can turn on a dime. Why would you pay him so much money? Like, that's ridiculous. And for the term, too.
He was on a $850,000 contract with the Kings when he signed his deal. There wasn't even a... Not even a $2.5 million. Oh, straight to $5 million.
Yeah.
God.
Wow.
Who signed that deal? Was that Rob Blake? Yeah, sure was. Huh.
That's a Chuck Fletcher signing.
Oh, God. Well, we didn't talk a lot of prospects tonight, but we had more important things to get to.
Yeah.
The rest of the disaster of the team. Trade deadline's a little more important.
There's too much to run down anyways. Rizzo's still out. Realistically, I think he's still out till the end of the season. The NCAA is really weird. They do it like, well, obviously because of school and stuff, but like they play a team like twice in a weekend, kind of like a series, and then take time off and then play another series. Denver only has like 4 games left on their calendar, and then they have a pretty long break, and then they start up playoffs on like the 22nd. They end, well, all college teams do. They end on the 9th and then start up playoffs and whatever on the 22nd. So realistically, Rizzo can probably take time off and get rest and be ready for playoffs. It kind of screws up his good season. I think he was already surpassed in assists on the charts, which is unfortunate for him. But to make a good playoff push and kind of go for the Frozen Four, it's probably better that he rests up.
Is Rizzo playing center right now?
Yes. He's their first-line center.
He is unsigned
guy.
At the moment, but considering how piss-poor this organizational center depth is, I assume he's given a deal, right?
I have an interview set up for him in a couple of weeks when he comes back. So I'm going to touch base with him on see if he says anything about signing an ELC or even if he wants to play here. I'm going to cry myself to sleep if he doesn't.
Want to go to Anaheim.
Oh my God. If Rizzo doesn't want to play here, or if he takes the free agent market route, or the Flyers don't sign him to an ELC, then what's the point of bringing him in? You got rid of a nobody and you got to pick. You didn't really have to do that. Like, there was obviously something there that Danny Breer likes, and I would imagine he likes the smaller kind of guy and wants to bring Rizzo in and kind of have him as a second.
That's right.
Third
that was a
seed.
Separate trade for him, wasn't it?
There was no reason to do it
because like, the original rumor was D'Angelo for Rizzo, and then they ended up buying out D'Angelo and made a separate trade for Rizzo. So, yeah, that's right. So they clearly had some idea of getting him.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's kind of your return for D'Angelo, but it didn't have to be. You didn't have to make that trade.
Yeah.
And, I mean, realistically, you obviously won the trade. I just think Carolina dumped them because they didn't have time to wait, and they're kind of still in this playoff mode, and they're pushing for the playoffs, and they want to be a cup contender, so they don't have time to wait for prospects, especially aging ones. So, I mean, the Flyers probably got a steal here, and if you don't take it and you just let them go sign elsewhere, then what did you do that for? A fifth-round pick? There was no point to do that. And if you want to say that we got D'Angelo for a fifth-round pick, or you moved him for a fifth-round pick, that's not a good trade at all. That's just dumb. Like, so, I mean, obviously there's value there, so hopefully the Flyers don't screw that up. So, I mean, realistically, he could sign an ELC this season or this summer, and I hope he does, and I hope he has a good camp. And I honestly hope he makes the team, but he'll probably spend some time in the AHL, and then we'll never see him again. But
6 more years down there, and then maybe he can get a recall. Maybe.
He'll be 30, so I'm just like, yeah. But anyways, yeah, I got to chat with him, see where he's at. Hopefully it's all good, and he's actually been talking with the team and stuff. But Siernak's back. Jordan's back, which is good. He played the other night. Yeah, other than Rizzo, I think he's the only one out still, which is good.
All yeah. Right.
That's just a quick little wrap-up from last week. Because not much has happened.
Yeah, it's only been a week. So, this will call it a day here. Everybody, that was an hour and a minute already. Good Lord. Time flies when you're yelling about a hockey team, eh? I'll be back. We're going to do a post game with Nick tomorrow after the Tampa Bay game. And I do have another friggin' Flyer that needs to go up sometime this week. So maybe friggin' Flyer goes up Wednesday and Nick's show goes up Thursday. It doesn't matter. It'll go up sooner. Nick back, friggin' Flyer this week. Plenty of shit up on the website, brotherlypuck.com, at Dan the Flyer Fan, at Brotherly Puck, at _pod, at Tip2TipPod. If you're looking for Flyer Side Chat, it is now the Tip2Tip podcast. You can check that out. It's in my bio if you do not want to find the website. We are launching it. We recorded a commercial a couple weeks ago. That'll be up probably after the deadline here. And so check that out. 2 episodes a week. Monday, we're old episodes of Flyer Side Chat, our favorite from the Vault series, and then all the episodes we recorded in November, December that we got to use on here are going up Thursday. So 2 episodes a week over there. Official launch is coming soon. Tip2Tip Pod on Twitter. Check that out. And Dylan Hercules Harmelon Roblard.
My goodness. Mine's not as exciting as that. It's just Dylan Roblard _. Easy as that.
It's not nearly as fun.
No, I don't have 4 different accounts. Just one. I don't have enough jerseys to show off. Well, I do, but they're not as game worn.
Dan the Flyer Fan _jerseys on Instagram. That's right. Forgot to plug that. All right, everyone. Until next time, goodbye and good night.